I want to put the spotlight where it belongs this morning. I want to put the spotlight on our worthy Savior, the Lord Jesus, who has already done so much for us. And I really believe that what we want to talk about today is how do we actually see that? It's really seeing what Christ has done for us. See, Christ, He is the finisher. He's the perfecter. He's the finisher of our faith. But we can get to a point where we're not really cooperating with Him. And we wonder, like, oh, my life is kind of boring. I don't have a lot going on. It just seems like I maintain my own deal every day. But I'll tell you, once the Lord Jesus really gets a hold of your heart and you discover over time this intimate conversation, intimacy with Him, the conversation changes. Really, the conversation in our life becomes different. Our focus becomes different. And I love what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. He says, I am He who lives and was dead. Jesus has experience with death. I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Everything points to Him. All the Scripture points to Him. When we get together here on Sunday mornings, we are once again declaring that the resurrection has happened. That's why you show back up at church, because you need to be reminded of your resurrected hope that is in the Lord Jesus. Whether it's police officers being shot with 10 bullets, whether it's cancer that's flooding people's bodies, whether it's just a depressed life and you're just trying to eke out, I just hope I get out of this somehow without a lot of pain. Now that's, believe me, I don't want anyone to go through pain. I don't want that for me. If you saw me sort of whimpering and moaning on my vacation, I gotta put my leg up, you know. I understand pain and I don't like it either. But I thank the Lord as I read into this word that there is a promise for every believer. And the believer needs to lay hold of that, and that is on the basis of faith. So I want to talk about that this morning. As I mentioned just a few moments ago, the scripture says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He lays out what we have to do, believe on Him, and then He continues His work in us. The scripture says that, you know, Paul says, I am confident of this very thing. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that in spite of what you might be going through this morning? I'm in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. As I was looking at, as it was, seems like eons ago that I was actually here. It really wasn't. It was just 2 weeks ago. So some of it might be a blur, but I was in Galatians chapter 3. Five times Paul uses the word faith in Galatians chapter 3. See, faith really is a factor in all that we're doing here this morning. You came here really on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that you see this as an opportunity to strengthen your faith. But in Paul looks at Abraham, an Old Testament example of what it means to be justified by God. Abraham had to do one thing, believe. See, believe is different because God sees it. Man sees works. Man sees the outward, but God sees the heart, and He knows where faith has been appropriated. So if you've appropriated faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God says you are justified. Now you may still have issues, challenges. You may oftentimes feel like, I don't even know if I'm really like a real believer because I don't see emerging fruit. And a lot of people will put the pressure on the Christian today to say, unless you're so super fruitful, you're not saved. And you can start to doubt your own salvation on the basis of what you see. And I believe the scripture will guide you. It will guide you to know what to really look for in your own life. The scripture says to keep looking unto Jesus, right? Keep looking, as I think Dennis talked about it last week, into the perfect law of liberty, who is Christ Jesus. So if you stop looking to Jesus, then you're going to get yourself in trouble because the chances are you're going to start looking at yourself and you're going to get bogged down and discouraged. The look within is never a good look. Because if the sin has been cleansed because you've placed trust in Christ, then you need to go with that. And realizing that your fleshy desires are not going to satisfy you long term. If anything, they're going to create extra anxiety for you. They're anxiety producers. I know that by experience. Just saying. I've had them. Doesn't mean that because you're a Christian that you're not free of anxiety. Jesus talked about that, and Paul talked about be anxious for nothing, but by everything, prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, guess what happens here? Will guard your heart. See, God wants to guard our hearts. Romans chapter 4. It's going to be up on the screen. Are you awake? Okay. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. The apostle says, what then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Always remember that the Scripture points to the Scripture. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray you'll just open up our hearts and our minds to this word, that we would see clearly, we would be energized as people who want to move forward on the basis of faith. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You have to learn to eat the word of God. I mean, when was the last time you ate? Right, probably this morning. And you know it in your life. If you're a person who doesn't eat, you realize things can go wrong quickly. And I know some people who are diabetic, this can just be a really big disaster. If their sugar gets off, and it's all of a sudden, it's not good. And so we treat our bodies as if it needs food. You need to treat your soul, your redeemed soul in the Lord Jesus, as if you need sustenance and food. And don't ever stop taking that food in. We want to be fat Christians, okay? We want to be fat. We want to be nourished. We want to be able to withstand. So if we go through some lean times, the fat is there. What we've built into our life is there. And the apostle really wants you to know how to do that. So I want to look at these three points that are on the back of your bulletin. So here's, hopefully, you'll be able to see what I'm thinking today. Always I try to look at a passage of Scripture and say, okay, if I could give these guys three things, three. There's a lot more than the three, okay? But if I had to give you three, I would say these are the three. Number one, I believe the apostle's putting forward here that the flesh fails. No matter how good our flesh can look, be, act, it fails in comparison to the righteousness of God. Even though our works matter to God, they're not the thing we focus on to bring us favor with God. And this is a very difficult thing. If you've been trained in this way, this can take a lifetime to shake. Because you've been taught, I get the cookie if I'm good. I do this if I say the right thing. If I never tell a lie, if I never do this, I'm good and I get favor. And so we learned, this I believe is inherent in every one of us. It's part of our fallen nature that we took into this world. God is Jesus is the remedy to resolve this problem. And you must have it resolved before you face God. You can have it resolved right now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So you can be anywhere and do that. And that's why local church is a continuation of that opportunity to continue to grow in respect to what God has done in you. He's at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. Don't forget that. And so the flesh fails is number one. I believe this passage points out that grace prevails. Number two, grace always wins. Grace is what puts you on the winning side with God. It's God's grace that puts you at least in the standing. Now, God can continue to use your life after salvation to go on and win some huge victories that sometimes we don't even know are possible. But that's why the weakness of our own life and the weakness of our own flesh, the Holy Spirit is the very one, the source of our strength, so that we're in these binds and difficulties, illness, problems, dilemmas, that the Holy Spirit is the one who is impressing upon us, who is in us, who is emerging the things that really are the strength that we need to serve the Lord. But grace always prevails in our salvation. And number two, faith avails. Here's the idea that I think is here. There's wealth. Everybody likes this idea of getting rich, right? Everybody thinks that wealth and riches are going to make them happy. The earthly riches of this realm will never satisfy. I don't care how much you get. You get gazillions and bazillions of dollars, it will never satisfy what your soul really is longing for. But it's the wealth of God. It's right with God. It's the blessings of God. The wealth that comes from heaven. The wealth that God promises is yours in Jesus Christ. And I believe faith, when we lay hold of this treasure in Christ by faith, which is simply believing, God opens up a resource for you to grow and to be nourished and to have the assurance that I am right with my Creator. This is how you really grow, as you see the pattern of how faith is worked out in our lives. I love what the apostle points out in Romans chapter 1. I just want to step over. So Paul says this earlier in this book. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." This is Jesus Christ who paid for your sin in full on the cross. "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile." We miss this part so often. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." Your advancing in this life as a believer is going to be by faith continuously. You are continuing to be moved from one level to the next by faith. Faith never, the dynamic of faith is never, ever over. You will continue to have to live your Christian life by faith, not by experience, but by faith. And faith is trusting God for what he has done in you. And he is faithful to his promises. This is why you can be excited about what God wants to do in you, because faith is a building experience. Why do some believers go forward in their life? Why do they emerge with great fruit and great success? Why do some guys serve God well into their 80s. Oh, I'm sorry. By the way, Dennis had a birthday last Monday, and I think we have a cake for you, brother, at the end of... Now you're talking, right? All right. So, and you guys, you wouldn't be here if you didn't want to grow, but you have to recognize that you have a real enemy. It's your flesh, it's the world system, and it's the devil. You got triple warfare working against you all the time. All right, but you got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who's working in you, right? So you've got, but we're in this place that is difficult. We're in the middle, in one sense. We've been moved from that domain of darkness into light, but we continue to feel that pressure on that side, and that thing is still alive in our experience. But in God's eyes, we died with Jesus, and we are set free from the law of sin and death. Yes, right. Okay, I'm back. Okay. And so when you look at this passage of Scripture, you really want to see what God is, what he's showing. He's taking an Old Testament example before God ever gave the Old Testament covenant, the commands and the law and all the things that would show man how sinful he was. God makes a promise to Abraham. Abraham takes God at his word. You can read about Abraham's history. He's one of the descendants of Shem. You see how the earth is flooded and Noah's sons are dispersed. And you see how God elects Abraham as a pattern for every believer. Every believer. Abraham really is our teacher in one sense of how do we become right with God, because he's right with God and has eternal life way back then. And Jesus says that Abraham saw my day and he was glad. So Abraham saw Jesus way back then. See, all the Old Testament system was always pointing to our everlasting Savior. All of it. So we want to make sure that when we look at Abraham, you're looking at this wonderful pattern of what does it take to be right with God? What does it take? You know, I like this idea of keys. Anybody ever say, anybody see my keys? Right? Anybody have the electronic device that now tells you where your keys are? Right? It can tell your phone, I don't know, it's like very complicated. But anyway, there's all this stuff to help people. What do keys do? They open things up, right? They open up access. I can come to this church. If I don't have my keys, I'm in trouble. I just look at windows. Anybody got keys? You know, keys open access. That's why you take keys from somebody who's been drinking, because now they have access to something that can kill them and kill others. So always remember that this idea that keys open things up. And faith, I believe, really is the key to opening up our life with God in the fullest potential possible. As God knows our life, he knows our days, and what's possible in our life is by faith. We continue to trust him because we're going on the record of the scripture. We take God at his word. I always say oftentimes in prayer and things in this church that if God be for me, who could be against me? If you don't believe that, then you're sunk. That's really the truth. You could live this way of like, you know what? I'm a loser. I messed up my life. I'm like, you know, I'm part of the club of the mess ups. And you could live that way and you can negative message yourself for your entire existence. You can try to make your experience trump the grace of God. I'm so unworthy. You know what? We all know that, right? We can all be in that club. We're unworthy before God in our own record. That's why that point that I wanted to make is the flesh always fails. That's why you in a religious community that we live in, and I don't believe that even though we're in church, this isn't, I don't like to think of this just a religious community. I know we have the cross up there, we have symbols, but we're proclaiming more than we're just trying to go through the motions of some religious activity. Really, this is relationship with Jesus, right? You're in relationship with your Creator. You're in relationship, and you're in right relationship with him if you're in Christ today. If you're not in Christ, you are not in right relationship with God. And you need to get in right relationship with him. And you need to always know that I can only get in right relationship with God as I receive the gift that God gives me. God's holding out a gift for you right now. That gift is offered to every person in these seats this morning. And if you don't receive the gift that he offers, and how do you know you receive the gift? Because you've asked him for it. You've asked him for it. You shouldn't be guessing at this. None of us should be guessing. I hope I'm right with God. You can know you're right with God because your flesh will fail. We never know. You saw what happened in Missouri over this last few days, a horrible tragedy. Praise God. You see that woman? She knows Jesus. 9 of her family members were taken. She cried out to God. I believe that God's going to use that horrible tragedy in Missouri for his glory, because this whole life, if it shows us anything, it shows us the brevity. You can be on your family vacation, right? We were just up there, and like, you drive down the roads, and it's crazy out there. But I really believe all of the tragedies of this life are just showing us the brevity of life so that we would not mess with this life and we would be made right with God now. Do not bank on you even have one more day. I pray you do. I pray I do. Don't bank on it, though. God, James is very clear about that. Your life is a vapor. It's here one day, it's gone the next. But that's why you keep looking to Jesus, because he knows that you need complete and total redemption right this second. And that's why the gospel continues to be proclaimed. Well, we have opportunity. We don't know where this church will be in 5 years, but we're not going to waste time wondering if we will be here. We're going to keep working as if we will be here. We're going to keep serving God. That's why we have Dennis stepping up and doing some training. We're going to be talking about how do we become more equipped to share our faith. When you go out there, do you feel confident telling people about Jesus, or do you just keep your mouth shut? We've all been in that situation. I was at Costco a couple weeks ago. And I'm like, you know what, I was in the church before I left up there, left here, and I went up there. My son Aaron and I went together, and I packed a Gospel of John, right before the 4th of July, has the American flag on it. I'm like, hey, this is a no-brainer. So I talked to this guy at Costco. He's one of the, working one of those amazing food carts that if you keep going back and back and you keep returning, I mean, you just get full. Like, you can just walk around Costco and have a full lunch. It's awesome. I mean, plus you're getting all those steps in. I'm watching my steps on my Fit, whatever this thing is. And the guy was happy. He's just a jolly guy. He said, it's a great day. And I said, how come? He goes, I don't know, I'm alive. And I said, you know what? Give him the Gospel of John. I felt this need. I said, hey, buddy, I want you to read something. This will show you the words of life from Jesus. He's like, I'll read it later. So I say, yeah, it's a victory. I praise God. The guy has a copy. I pray he reads it. I pray he gives it to somebody else. So sometimes we just need to be willing to open up our mouth, because what we're saying is that I don't want you to die and go into eternity with hell without Jesus. That's really what's at stake here. I mean, that's why we do this. We're not just here for us. We're here because we want to see people come to know him. I want to see you grow in Jesus Christ. I want to see you get stronger, and I see it already happening. And it's awesome to see what God is doing in some of the lives of this place. It's fabulous, because Christ is emerging throughout the life of a person who says, I want him. I've done it too long my own stinking way, and I don't want to do it that way anymore, and I want God to have his way in me, because the scripture says his ways are so much better than our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. So Abraham's highlighted here. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. Boasting is bragging. You know, I put my son on the altar, right? I've done this. He could have boasted. Abraham's life really was a picture of trust. I mean, he was willing to sacrifice his only son, the son of promise, and put him on an altar. Because you know why? Because he believed the gospel that even if he killed his own son, Isaac, God was going to raise him from the dead. That's exactly what's at stake here. Abraham believed God. Do you believe God today? Do you believe that God can work in your situation? Do you trust him? Even when it's ugly and you don't know what it's going to be like in the next few years, it doesn't matter. You can trust God. He's never going to fail you. Amen. And see, the scripture says here, Paul's referring back to Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness. Righteousness isn't just like few good things that you've done and now it's in your pile. I got a righteous pile, and hopefully it's going to carry me. It's not going to carry you. Jesus carries you. You want the Jesus pile, right? You want the full Jesus pile of righteousness piled on you. This is exactly what causes you to get strong. This is taking in the good food. Scripture's quite clear. There's no one righteous, no, not one. Your righteousness does not, it might in your eyes, it's better than someone else's, but in God's eyes, you need a Savior. But here's the good news. Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but a debt. So if, in one sense, if a person's thinking is that they're earning their way, you're saying that I'm forming a pile, I'm forming a group of things that somehow is going to be satisfactory. But in God's estimation, it's still a debt. It still isn't enough. It's still insufficient. And this is where grace comes in, right? See, grace always will prevail. The flesh will fail. Grace prevails. For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through the one man. This is Adam. This is what happens when sin entered the world through Adam, right? Death prevailed. It came into every person's life. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So this is what's at stake here. Christ's finished work is sufficient to justify every terrorist, every human being, even though there are many terrorists who aren't coming to Jesus. If a terrorist who turns to Jesus Christ and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and says, Jesus, save me, that terrorist will be saved. A lot of people have a lot of struggle with that. I know it seems like that seems so unfair. I lived this perfect life, and he blew up people. But if he turns to faith in Jesus Christ, God will forgive him. God's already provided a complete payment. This shows the sufficiency of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Although many people will blow off the cross, they will blow it off. They will live their life and somehow, I hope I make it. That is not a good answer. That's what we always want to remember, that Jesus trumps all of our righteousness, and he can make every person right with him. But every person must receive him. I love what Spurgeon says. He says, when I can see marks of grace in myself, to trust Christ is easy. But when I see no marks of anything good, but every mark of everything that is evil, and then come and cast myself upon him and believe that he alone can save me, even me, and rest myself upon him, this is the faith which honors Christ, which will save us. May you have it, and such time as you are afraid of sin, may you trust in Christ. See, that's what happens to us. Sometimes we rob our own assurance by playing around with the flesh, and the flesh is just a disaster in the making. Your flesh nature will never actually do anything good for you except take you to hell. That's if you stay outside of Christ. It's not a friend. It hates God. It's not going to cooperate with helping you. If anything, it's going to brag that it thinks it's good. It's going to mimic righteousness that isn't complete righteousness. And Satan loves to pile that on. You know, you don't need Jesus. Just do what you're doing. Yeah, good luck with that, right? But here's what Paul says. See, this is where faith brings in this whole picture. As you trust in Christ, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. See, Christ justifies ungodly people. This is how good Jesus is. You know what? I really believe that most people want to be right with God. But when you tell people what they need to do to be right with God, they resist that. Right? Jesus encountered resistance. Read the Gospels. There is resistance spelled out throughout the Gospels. He came to present himself to his own. The Bible says his own did not receive him, but as many who had received him, he gave the right to become the children of God. That's John chapter 1. You should be familiar with John, the Gospel of John. It will really help you as you're talking to other people about Christ. So Christ comes into a Christ-rejecting world, the world that he made. The awesome creation that you and I get to enjoy every day, the fact that this sun shines just perfectly, that rain comes in, that all the elements work, and you look at your garden, your flowers coming up, you should thank Jesus, because he's the one who designed all this stuff. And he comes into the world to die for the world, and the world rejects him. But see, we don't want to be those who reject our Savior. That's why the gospel has to go forward with force. Jude said, you might need to snatch a few people, because they're actually heading to hell and they're going to spend eternity apart from Jesus because they failed to receive the righteousness that he gave. So, see, Jesus isn't saying, just go work for me. You know, he's saying, receive what I have for you and I'll put you to work. I've got something for you. I'll lead you. I'll help you. I'll show you. I'm actually going to put gifts in you that are going to emerge. And he's going to take your personality and your whole history, and he's going to work that in you for his glory. This is awesome. This is great. I love this here. Paul transitions to the psalmist David, King David. We know David. I mean, just look at David. David murdered. David was a man after God's own heart. David was an adulterer. David had issues. But guess what? Christ resolved David's issues. And this God uses David to write scripture that is prophetic in nature and points to this wonderful Savior who we lay hold of. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. If anyone knew that God could impute to David's account a disastrous life and consequences and punishment, David knew it. He's got blood on his own hands. His baby dies. He had an adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. He had her husband killed. Put this guy in the front line. Let everybody draw back. And what do you think happened? He's taken out. So David has experience with evil and iniquity. But he says here in Psalm 32, a psalm that he wrote as his time had gone on and Nathan had confronted David. And Nathan tells this wonderful story of a man who had a lamb, and it was his only lamb, and the other guy had everything he wanted, and he just, David, that man wants that guy's lamb and wants to kill him. And he does. And Nathan looks to David, he says, "You're the man. What you just freaked out over, David, what you are irate over, you're that guy in God's sight." And David comes clean. But he doesn't just stay this person who, and David would go on to have other troubles. We know that. See, sometimes power can make us feel more comfortable than we really should be. And David's just a human being who needed the grace of God, and he allowed the grace of God to be appropriated in his life. And he would say this in Psalm 32, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." Right? And there's a scripture in Psalm 32 that Paul leaves off here, right? Whose soul has no deceit. Paul doesn't put it here. Because there are times you can look at your own life like, "Oh my goodness, I'm still kind of deceitful. I don't want to be that way." But see, God sees the man who's trusted in Christ as a righteous person. And this is how God declares every person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to end with this. "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter." You're not trying to serve God by performing. You're moving by faith continuously from one realm of faith to the other. There's a new realm of faith that you're to go into this week. It could just be anything. It could be financial. It could be a bunch of stuff. It could be just trusting God to show you more of himself in his word. Keep pushing through it. Don't settle. That's the nature of the flesh. The flesh just wants to settle. Just leave me alone. Right? We've all been there. Just leave me alone. Don't bother me. I don't want that stuff on me. Well, then you're just letting your flesh nature win. And you need to fight that thing through the Spirit's power, helps you move forward, and you enjoy life. Really, I hope and pray that you do. A couple weeks ago on Father's Day, I gave this to the guys in a little magnet. Anybody put that magnet in a good place? All right. Gail took one. Yes, all right. Anyway, there's a few of these on the table, and this is going to be up on the screen. See, this is what happens, and I was thinking as I was wrapping up my thoughts this morning, righteousness is so powerful in the life of the believer. And if you want to know what that looks like, you need to remember that in Christ I am loved. In Christ I'm redeemed. In Christ I'm forgiven. In Christ I've been chosen. In Christ I'm new. In Christ I'm complete. In Christ I am a conqueror. Some of us need to be willing. That's why on Wednesday mornings, the guys have been moving through the book of Hebrews, because the Israelites did not move forward. They stayed stuck. And they could have moved forward. You have a few isolated examples of some of the Old Testament saints who move forward. You think of Joshua. But most people don't see themselves as a conqueror. And you are a conqueror in Christ. And you're a citizen of heaven. Paul says our citizenship is in heaven. You're an alien right now. You're no longer a child of the earth. This earth is corrupt. God knows that. He's redeeming it. You've got to come out of this world system by Christ alone. And he is preparing you as a citizen for heaven right now. Your citizenship is already there. So basically, when any of you are going to get baptized on the 4th, you're really saying, "I'm a new creation, and I'm so good with that. I am a citizen of heaven." And how do you know that? By faith. You go by faith. All of these are by faith. Whether you feel loved, you feel redeemed, you feel forgiven, you feel chosen, you feel new, you feel complete, you feel like a conqueror, or you feel like a citizen of heaven, you lay hold of this by faith. That's moving from one level of faith to the other. That's how it keeps happening. And it happens by getting to know this book better and trusting that Christ is at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. May we pray together. Thank you so much, Lord, for your great grace, the great mercy of God that floods our life, that we stand before you this morning just saying thank you, an enormous thank you to Jesus for what he's done, how he loves us, how he cleanses us, how he takes us, Lord, from this terrible place of despair and gloom. And we know something's wrong, Lord. We thank you for every life in this room. I can't thank you enough for every person in this room this morning. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just continue to get the glory for what you're doing in their life, that as this church moves forward in these days, that we would not waste time, that we would continue to look to him who loved us. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the firstborn among the dead, that we serve Jesus and him alone. Oh, Lord, just draw us close to your presence even right now. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in each of our lives, every life here this morning, that we would still feel our hearts set ablaze by Jesus, just spending time with him, not afraid to be with him, letting him look into our lives through the scripture and telling us once again, I have made you mine. You are blood purchased and you belong to me. Oh, Lord, this can set us free. I pray that there'd be a set freeness in this church, that you would continue to work in all of our lives, no matter how long we've been at this, that we would see ourselves less encumbered by the flesh and more under the control of your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Next Sunday after service, if you're planning to be baptized, I do want to meet with you, okay? And if you are on the fence, see me. I think this is a good thing for you to do. All right, let's talk. Let's sing.
You may stand if you would like to.
Oh, you stood before creation, eternity in your hands. Oh, you spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? What could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll walk upon salvation, your spirit alive in me. This life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand. My soul, Lord, to you surrender all I am is yours. What can I say? What could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you.
Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Have an awesome week. We have some fellowship and a birthday cake. Join us next door.